Please turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13 and verse 28. Luke chapter 13 and verse 28. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And our subject this morning is missing out on heaven. Missing out on heaven. Well, we come this morning to these very solemn words, and I acknowledge that they are very solemn words in the Gospel according to Luke. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and these words are actually in response to a question which has been asked of the Lord, and a question that we find in verse 27, a little earlier than that. Verse 23, rather, a question that has been given to the Lord. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? That is the question that is given to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's an interesting question. Are there few that be saved? What prompted this question? Well, we don't know who asked the question. It's just one of the crowd. Lord, are there few that be saved? But perhaps this person had seen that even though very large crowds followed the Lord, great multitudes followed the Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps this person had noticed that only a few of the crowd were actually truly devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Only a few seemed to know who he truly was. Only a few seemed to acknowledge him as the Messiah, as the Christ. Only a few, of course, were his disciples. There were great multitudes, great crowds followed him, but he only had 12 disciples, that inner circle, as it were, that group of friends, only 12. And so maybe when this person observed all of this, this is what prompted the question, are there few that be saved, Lord? So that was the question that is posed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the answer, well, it begins in verse 24. Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Strive to enter in at the strait gate, the narrow gate. Well, we often speak about how Christianity, the Christian faith, is not the way that the majority of people take. The way to Christ, it's not the way of the majority. It's not the broad way. It's the narrow way. It is the straight gate. And that's very obvious, particularly in the modern world, in the society in which we live. The vast majority of people outside these doors, in the world in which we live, they are what you would call unbelievers. Unbelievers, atheists, those who do not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who do not believe. Believers, Christian people, well, we are in the minority. We are not the majority. Those who are truly born again, we are the minority. And in a sense, we've always been in the minority. And it seems we're getting smaller and smaller, the number of true believers, whereas the number of unbelievers and atheists seems to be getting larger and larger. But this is the way it is. If we are to follow Christ, we must go in the narrow gate, the straight gate, not the way that everybody else takes, but the narrow way. We must be prepared to come away from the crowd and be numbered amongst the few. So that's why the Lord says this, strive to enter in at the straight gate. And then in verse 25, well, the Lord really gives what amounts to a parable. Verse 25, when once The master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Well, this is a kind of parable. Really, this parable is about a house owner, the master of a house, a landlord. He's opened up his house for a little time. The door has been open, but now he rises up to shut the door. He's going to shut the door. And as you can see, there are people outside who are knocking and who are calling to him, Lord, Lord, open up unto us. But the door is now shut and remains shut. And well, in verse 27, the Lord says, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. And this is very solemn. Really, this parable is a picture of what it will be like at the very end of time. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns, we know that the Lord is returning, the Master, the Lord, he will return one day. And those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, those who do not trust in him, those who are not in the house, as it were, in the household of faith, well, they will be shut out. The door will be shut. They will have missed out on heaven. That's the meaning of this parable. And this is very serious. And those words that we read in verse 28 again, they're even more serious. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. This is the fate of all those who are shut out of the kingdom of God. This is the fate of all those who miss out on heaven. In short, this really, verse 28, is a picture of hell. It's a picture of hell, a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I want to spend just a little bit of time on that verse. We don't normally spend much time preaching about hell. It's not a nice subject to speak about. It's not a popular subject. Some churches will never preach about hell or even mention hell. But it may surprise you that the Lord Jesus Christ was the one who spoke about hell the most. If you were to be transported back in time and hear the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, you would most certainly hear about hell, because this was very important to the Lord Jesus Christ. These are his words, I remind you. It was very important that people know and understand the consequences of rejecting the salvation of the Lord. The Lord Jesus, I must tell them, I must warn them, so that they will not be without any excuse. They won't have an excuse at the very end of time. There must be consequences. There are consequences. So this was an important part of his preaching, to warn the people. And so from time to time, we have to focus on passages such as these. And really, we have to sound that same warning. That same warning that the Lord Jesus Christ gives. We have to sound it out so that people are without excuse when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Now, of course, there are many people in this world, as I've already mentioned, who don't believe that there is a hell. Some people, they don't even believe there's an afterlife at all. There is no place that you go to. When you die, you don't go anywhere. That's what some people believe. When you die, you're in the ground and that's it. And they don't really believe in heaven or hell. Well, in fact, they will say to you, and I've heard this before, heaven really is on this earth. Heaven is in this world. You can create heaven in this world. I've heard people say that. And I've heard others equally say that hell is this world. There's no hell afterwards. Hell is here in this world. People say that. And well, in a sense, there is a measure of truth in what they're saying, because it is true that if you are an unbeliever, if you are an atheist, well, this world is the closest you will get to heaven. If you're an unbeliever, you don't trust in the Lord, this world is the closest you will get to heaven. But if you trust in Christ, this world is the closest you will get to hell. So in a sense, they're right. They speak a measure of truth. But both places are real. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke of heaven as a real place, and he spoke of hell as a real place. And we believe in his word. Of course we do. We believe very much in the word that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us. Now we learn from this verse that those who end up in hell fall into two categories. There are two kinds of people in hell here. There are those who are weeping, and then there are those who are gnashing their teeth. There in hell shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, what does this mean? The Lord says this, by the way, on more than one occasion, weeping and gnashing of teeth. What does gnashing of teeth mean? Well, gnashing of teeth, literally, it means grinding one's teeth together. That's what it is, grinding one's teeth together. And really, that communicates pain. When somebody, for example, stubs a toe or feels a jolt of pain, the first thing they do is they grind their teeth together in pain. They wince. They grind their teeth. They gnash their teeth because they feel the pain. And that's true of hell. Hell is a place of pain. Do we understand that? Sadly, I've met people, one or two people, who seem to think that hell will not be so bad. Hell, well, I'd rather be in hell than in heaven. Because in hell, well, you can do what you want. And you can indulge all your lusts and all your pleasures. It's not so bad. I'd rather be there. But they don't understand what hell is like. It's a place of pain. It's a place of agony. Agony for the body, agony for the soul. It's a place of shame. When you feel shame, it's a pain within you. When you feel grief, hell is a place of grief. It's painful. Hell is a place of humiliation. So no wonder we read that in hell, there is gnashing of teeth. Because there is pain in hell. There's also anger. That's what a gnashing of teeth equally means. It speaks about anger. In a number of places in the scripture, we read of how the wicked gnash their teeth upon the righteous. They're angry at the righteous. Psalm 37, verse 12, for example. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. It's about being angry. That's what hell is like. Have you noticed that even if you say to somebody who doesn't believe in God, if you say to an atheist, for example, that you're going to hell, do you see how angry they get? Anger, even in an atheist. And that is what it will be like in hell, except you multiply it by 1,000. Somebody who winds up in hell, they're so angry. So angry to be there. This is the place I didn't believe in. This is the place I never took seriously. I thought that if I didn't believe in hell, I would never end up here. But now I am here and I'm here forever. And they're angry. There's great anger in them that can never be placated. And they're angry when they realize that there is not just a hell, but there is a heaven. There's a heaven and they missed out on it. That's what really makes them angry. Not just that there's a hell, but there actually was a heaven. And I missed out. And who goes to heaven instead of them? Christian people. Look at verse 28. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, all those of faith, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. That's what makes up the anger of people in hell. There's a heaven. And Christian people are in heaven. Christian people. I used to think Christian people were stupid. I used to think Christian people were foolish, wasting their time, believing in an empty religion. And now they're the ones in heaven. They're the ones in heaven. I'm in hell. It's no wonder they're angry. It's no wonder they're gnashing their teeth. Dear friends, does this speak of you? Are you angry at the Lord? Well, this anger will be forever if you do not turn. But then, of course, there's another group of people in hell. There's those who are gnashing their teeth. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There are people weeping. Why are they weeping? Well, they are weeping because they knew full well the way to God. They knew the way to God, but they rejected it. And they rejected it multiple times. And now they are weeping. How could I have been so foolish? I heard the gospel so many times. I knew about Christ, but I left it too late. It's like the parable that the Lord Jesus Christ has given. We read about those who were left outside the door because they left it too late. The door was open. It was open for a period of time, but they left it too late. Dear friends, this is like the gospel age. For 2,000 years now, the door has been open. The gospel door, the door to heaven, the door to salvation, the door to everlasting life. It's an open door, offers free forgiveness, free salvation. And yet, well, those who end up in hell, they never took it. That open door, I could have walked in, but I didn't. And now they're left weeping. Dear friends, I have to exhort you. This is why I'm speaking about these things, is to wake you up. Are you in that camp? Are you in that group? Are you in danger of leaving it too late? You must strive to enter in. Strive to enter in. You know, I make a difference. I make a distinction between those people who are strivers and those people who are seekers. Seekers, they always seem to be seeking, and they seem to like seeking. They're not really bothered about finding anything, about finding God. They're always seeking. But there is a distinction with striving. Striving, that's what you need to do. Not simply seeking all the time. Are you striving to enter in? Are you striving before the Lord in prayer? Lord, help me. Lord, please give me that faith in Christ. Lord, please help me to understand what it is to be saved, what I must do. My heart is hardened. Lord, change my heart. Are you striving? Not simply just seeking. Seeking suggests you're not really doing anything. Striving. Strive to enter in. That's the only way. Turning to the Lord and praying for all that you are worth. It is better to strive now than to weep forever in hell. There was an open door for so long, and you never took it. Dear friends, this is a great tragedy, because soon the door will be shut. It's too late. And I say this, of course, very obviously. It's too late when you die to enter in to the door. Of course it is. It's too late when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to enter in to the door, to enter into salvation. You must come now, dear friends, as soon as you can, before it is too late. This is a great exhortation to unbelievers. Turn to the Lord, strive to enter in. But we've just got a little bit of time to speak about not just to unbelievers, but to those who perhaps think they already are in the kingdom, but are actually not in the kingdom. Because when you read this parable, it becomes very apparent that there are those who are deluded. Verse 25, when once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. There are some people standing outside the door who seem to think that they know the Lord. They say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And the Lord Jesus Christ, well, he says this elsewhere in Matthew's gospel, Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's the same here. People are saying, Lord, Lord, open up to us, but the door is shut to them. Well, dear friends, that might be somebody here. Somebody who knows the religious language. Somebody who says they believe in God. Somebody who will tell you, I believe in the Lord, I'm a Christian. But all it is, it's talk, it's just words. They don't really know the Lord. I know you not whence ye are. Is that you? A nominal believer. And then you have in verse 26, then there are others who begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. There are some people who are just simply present. They come to church every week. They want to show their face. They want to be present in the house of the Lord, but they don't really know him. They're just churchgoers. And these are this type of people. We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. That could equally be interpreted, I was in church every week. I had fellowship with thy people. The church was just on my street. I'd go every week. But dear friends, the important thing is, do you know the Lord? Verse 27, but he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? We say it so often. Christianity is not simply religion. It is a relationship with Christ. Just as you relate to your brother, your sister, to your father, your mother, it's a living relationship. I know the Lord. I know him. It's not just empty religion. Do you know the Lord? Do you know him personally? Do you know him as your Lord and your Savior? Do you know him as the only way to God? That's what it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only way. There's no other way I can go. There's no other religion. I know he is the only way. That's what it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only way to God because he's the only one who has suffered and died for my sin. Do you know that? When the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, it was for my sin, which I have committed in my life. I know that. That's what it is to know the Lord. It's not simply to come and sit in a church and be religious. A true believer will know the Lord Jesus Christ, know and understand what he has done, know and understand why he shed his blood. Dear friends, we must hearken to these words. Otherwise, you will be deluded. Like this group of people, I thought I knew the Lord, but I didn't at all. Dear friends, I must conclude. I know these have been solemn words in many ways, but look at these words in verse 28, just one more time. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Well, this is a terrible thought. The day of judgment, it's a day of great separation. The Lord Jesus Christ says this again in Matthew's gospel. He talks about, then shall two be in the field, The one shall be taken and the other left. The day of judgment when Christ returns, it's a great separation. People on that day will be separated one from another. Fathers will be separated from mothers. Brothers will be separated from sisters. This is a great tragedy in so many ways. I look out on this congregation now, and I wonder who will be separated one from the other when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. What separations will take place? Well, dear friends, there is a way, the only way for all of us to be together. Every single one of us in this building, in this church, there's only one way for us to always, forever be together. No separation at all. And that's to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and to know him truly and fully. Then there won't be any separations for us. There'll be no tearful separations. You won't see your loved ones going into heaven and you left. We'll all go together because we all trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. There is no other way. So, dear friends, if you have not yet come to the Lord, walk through that door. The door is still open. Lay aside all your unbelief. Weep over your sins now, and you will be spared that eternal weeping and that eternal gnashing of teeth. Come, repent, and have faith, and you will know eternal joy, eternal bliss in the presence of the living God. Well, may the Lord bless these things to us.